A lot of things going on. Look out here, and we got a few people here, but do you know there's millions and, I don't know, how many people there are across the earth? How many people is the Lord watching over today? I mean, it's an awesome thing, but we have a God who is so much bigger, so much greater, so much above all things, that we need to come into that place where we know that He hasn't forgotten about you. He hadn't forgot about one of your hairs, whether you have them or not. He knows it all. We sometimes limit God to our understanding, but God is so much above our understanding. Who can understand? Who can comprehend? So, we've had a lot of things going on. You know, I missed part of the, and I still haven't listened to the tape, so just been too many other things going on. But we had Tom and Calvin here. We had Lenny here for the men's retreat. By the way, good job, Lenny. It was really good. And Tom and Calvin, very good. God sends in people in our midst to help. But I'm going to let you know that all the helpers that can come will never be able to accomplish what they bring without the helper, the Holy Spirit, who will accomplish these things in us. Even though whatever can come our way and whatever can be shared, whatever can be brought by us or anybody else, it's the Holy Spirit that will accomplish it in you. Amen? Amen. So God is faithful. You got some joy. The joy of the Lord. Praise God. We probably need more joy. We used to sing a song, remember Lenny, in the fellowship days? So we do that on Friday nights now. And we have fun. A little joy in our lives is all right. Sometimes can bring healing. Can bring all kinds of things. God is so much bigger. But I want you, you know, I just got this word last night for us, that God is faithful. Well, we know that. I mean, how many of you could, if I said, is God faithful, everybody would raise their hand and say, God is faithful. But the experiential understanding, when you're going through the trials, we need each other. We need to remind each other, God is faithful. God will see you through. God will help you make it. He's going to get you through, Candace, all the way. He hasn't ever forgot about you. We're going to make it. You're going to make it. I'm going to make it. We're going to make it because God will see us through. He's faithful. It means not only that God always does what He says and will never disappoint us, He'll never forsake us, but I want you to know it's more than that. It's like God is faithful. In other words, that's who He is. It isn't what He does, it's who He is. Yes, it comes out that He's always faithful, but it's not because He's just being faithful. No, He is faithful. He's a faithful God. It doesn't mean that He always does it. It's just who He is. In other words, God cannot be unfaithful. It's not in Him. He is faithful. Because that's who He is. You can never doubt God's faithfulness. It'll always be there. Always. 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 Because that's who God is. We can faithfully do something, but God is faithful. He is the faithful one. He can only be faithful. We say God is love, but we can also say He's faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, I want you to hear this, Candace. If we're faithless, He remains faithful. I need to hear that. How many of you have maybe blown it once or twice? Okay, how many? 5 to 10. No. Okay. By His doing. Oh, wow. This is a cool verse. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Whose doing is that? By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When we start getting down on ourselves, when you start getting down on yourself, it's because you have nothing to boast about. You blew it. Well, I'm telling you, you have nothing to boast about anyway. Who was it we were just listening to? It'll come here. It's Don and... Keith Miners was sharing about this prophetic person that's down in Brazil, and there's a movement down in Brazil. It wasn't Brazil, it was South America, not Brazil. But there's a movement in the Catholic Church down there. And the God is really moving in the Catholic Church. And people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and this person has always ministered in the Pentecostal Church and in the Charismatic Church, and the Catholic Church has been over there, and she was really troubled. She said, well, if I join in with that group, I might lose my ministry. And the Lord quickly spoke and says, you don't have a ministry. Sorry. You don't have a ministry. This is my ministry. So, the point is what do we got to boast about? It's the Lord. It's the Lord who's doing things on this earth. He's the one that we boast in. It's the Father who qualified us. That's what it says in Colossians. It doesn't say that you qualified yourself somehow. How many of you think that it was something you did that qualified you to be born again? It's what God has done. Like Adam said, this was in the Father's heart from before the creation of the world. I mean, it isn't something that just came up all of a sudden to correct the problem. No, God qualified you through His Son, Jesus. He qualified you. Before you ever said yes to Jesus, you were qualified by the blood of the Lamb. Your life is now hid with Christ in God. What a statement is that? Listen now. Just hear it. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Where are you? Who has let you in? Who let you in? Did you get to come in? You got to come in to God. He says, come on in. We have confidence through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to the throne of grace. We have true confidence to come on in. My life, if you're a believer, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is hid with Christ in God. You might say, well, I'm just sitting here. I know where I am. Well, if you're going to look at things through these eyes, if you're only going to look at things as you see them on this earth, you're missing it. Because everything from God comes by faith. Why do you think they call us believers? Because we believe. Faith and belief go together. So if you're going to be a believer, then you have to believe. Well, there's a lot here to believe. These truths are realized by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You just can't get it. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There they are. Jesus became those for us. You cannot improve these truths by your efforts. How many of you think you still have to finish the finished work of Jesus? You go over to Adam's house and he just gets done building and he's all done, and then I come in there and I'm going to finish this thing up for him. I'm done, man. Don't be messing with this thing. Once it's complete, it's complete. You don't come in and finish something that's already finished. You can experience it. You can learn about it. You can receive it, but you can't improve it. There's nothing you can do that can improve what Jesus has already done for you. It's only a realization. We grow in our understanding. We grow in our faith. Our faith gets bigger, but the accomplishment hasn't been improved because your faith got bigger. Just because now I've understood it didn't mean that somehow Jesus finally did it. You know, once we understand something, then we think, well, this is revelation on, and I have the revelation for you guys. Well, maybe the Lord's already, maybe you were the last one to get it. And you think you're the first. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Seems like He kind of removed a lot of things there that we put a lot of confidence in. But none of those things, he took them all out of the way. But you were born of God. Wow. Who's your father? If you were born of God, then who's your father? You have a father, and that's why Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be His name." That's my father. But that's your father. You've been born again by the will of God. Not because, I mean, our part was to believe. Our part is to believe. And you know what? Hopefully, if I'm up here speaking anything of God, then my words may have faith in them for those who can hear and believe, it says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This birth is not a natural birth. Not that you can see this birth with your physical eyes. We must see this by faith. So it says in 1 Peter that God caused me to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been born again into a living hope. Do you believe it? Do you believe that's true for you? Where do we dwell? Are you looking someday? You know, we sing songs about in the by and by. In the, you know, someday I can be with God. Someday I will be. And we always talk about something out there while I'm still stuck here. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says my life is hid with Christ in God now. The Bible also says that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places now. We need to believe what the Bible says because by faith, we move. By faith, we exist. By faith, we are children of God now. Not sometime in the future, we're now. Now, there will be a time when this body will be resurrected or changed in the twinkling of an eye, but my life and who I am, I no longer live, speaking of my flesh, but now Christ lives in me. So the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. That's what we live by, is faith. Faith. For I am confident of this very thing. Now, I want you to know, who started this work again? It was by... Who caused you to be born again? Who started the work for you? Who began this good work? Sometimes we get it said, you know, I became, and we focused on, when did you become a Christian? When did you do this? And somehow we try to get back on what you have done. Because if the devil can get it back on you, then every time you slip, you can come under condemnation. You can come under the heaviness. Man, I was talking with Steve Rude. You know Steve Rude, he helped us with the boiler. He's an electrician. But he's a man of God that I just love being around. He said, we got to stop saying to people who are having trials in this world, when things aren't going good, we can't say to them, you need to get your act together. Well, the truth of the matter is, we couldn't get it together the first time. How are we going to get it together the second time? You know what we need to say to people? Put your faith back in Jesus. Put your faith back in the Lord Jesus. Put your faith back in Him. Get your eyes off yourself and set your eyes on heavenly things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep your eyes on Him. He's the author and who had that word, finisher of the faith. Fix your eyes on Him. Keep fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. For I'm confident of this thing, that He who began the good work will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you have had words and stuff spoken? Well, I appreciated, Bruce, what you said, because you had the word, and yes, you sold some calves, but I'm sure that's not going to get you through retirement. It got you through, and we give thanks. But who is going to see that word through? Jesus. He's the one who completes it. So all the things that have been spoken over you in the last little bit, you know, it can become a weight. You know, because sometimes the things spoken over, man, how do I get there? How can I get to that place? I'm telling you, put your faith in Jesus, because He's got it covered. If the Word came from Jesus and He began the work, He'll finish it. We can't lose confidence in what God is doing. Paul had confidence for us. He had confidence for the Philippians. Are you going through a trial? Do you know of someone that's going through a trial? Be encouraged. God has not left you. He has not forgot about you. He has not forsaken you. You will make it. You will get through. Why can I say that? Because I believe God is faithful. He's the faithful one. He is the faithful one. Put your faith in Jesus. Not in what you can do or what you haven't done. Put your faith back in Jesus. Our salvation rests in His finished work. Yes, the Holy Spirit continues to transform my mind, which wars against sometimes the very truth of God. But my warring doesn't change His truth. Okay? Your battle doesn't change the truth of God. You might be going through a battle of unbelief or whatever going on in your life, but it doesn't change the truth. The truth remains the truth, and it'll never change. It is God's will that you have eternal life. It is God's will that you are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. How does this line up with worship anyway? How does this laying our lives down line up with your spiritual service of worship? Isn't worship standing up and glorifying God? Yes, it is. Now, get this. If you're still putting some confidence in yourself, now hear this. If you're still putting confidence in yourself, if that's something that you're still doing, I guarantee your worship is divided. You're worshiping God and you're worshiping yourself. Whatever confidence you still have in your own ability, whatever confidence you put in yourself, you will worship. You may not do it out loud, but secretly you're just, good job, Steve. Our boast is in Him. It's not about what we have done. If you've received anything, it's from God. If you have any glory, it's God's glory, not yours. If there is anything, it's from Him. It's not about you. Even though I was singing that this morning at breakfast. It's all about me. Historically correct. Did you hear that? Oh, boy. For it is God who is at work in you. Wow. Do you believe that? Is this really true? Who's at work in you? Who's doing this incredible transformation? Who's making sure that Christ is formed in you? Well, Paul says, you know, I'm laboring over the fact of Christ being formed in you. Well, we can help do that, but I'll tell you what, I seem to lack to be able to actually do anything except encouraging one another that God is at work. God is going to finish it. God is at work in us. He's at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He takes every circumstance, now, I mean, just this scripture. He takes every circumstance and causes it to work for good for us who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, what do you suppose His purpose is? When it says, called according to His purpose, are you called according to His purpose? What is His purpose? What is God's eternal purpose for you? To glorify Him. That would be a good thing. And how are we going to get there? I think I just said it a minute ago, but Paul said that Christ would be formed in you because true worship is in the Spirit and in truth. The Spirit and in truth. So we must, our worship has to come from who we are in Christ. You can't really worship God until you have His Spirit in you. You see that? God requires something of us. It's to be in Him. In Him. In Him. You go through everything that comes out, it's from Him. It's in Him, through Him, and back to Him. So He takes all the circumstances, and His eternal purpose is that Christ would be formed in you so that you can worship Him. To the degree that Christ is in you, the worship will be towards God. If you're still hanging on to yourself, you'll have a kind of a mixed bag going. There will be self-worship going on. So, he finally got these guys talking to them about, you know, you're just looking for bread and you thought you saw me feed the 5,000, now you want more bread. He said, don't work for things of this earth. Well, they said, well, okay, you got me. Then Jesus, tell me, what are the works of God? I'm finally there now. I'm ready. Give me the list. I'm ready. You've sold me on the fact that I'm doing it wrong, but give me the list. I want the works of God. What are they, Lord? I'm ready. I want to do them. What does it say? This is the work of God. Wow. Pretty short list. I think he put a period after that. What will keep us from maturing in Christ? What will keep us as infants in Christ? What will keep us from God? Only one thing. Unbelief. Once you believe by faith, and I don't even know if I dare say the next verse because, I mean, it's whatever isn't of faith is what? Oh. Whatever isn't of faith is sin? What about the good things? I mean, if I do something and I'm not doing it out of faith, what if I did some really good things? Like, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Lord, we healed in your name. Lord, we did all these wonderful things in your name. He said, depart from me, I never... Oof. It's right around Halloween, right? Scary verses. I don't know about you, but those verses kind of scare me once in a while. We can have our own. What did I do? Okay. For if Joshua had given them rest, you know the story of Joshua? He took them into the promised land, right? He actually got them in. But he said, if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Hallelujah, we made it. We're done. No, there was another day. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest is also able to rest from his own works. Wow. Jesus established a new creation. There was the creation of Adam. But there was a second creation. A creation that was established with Jesus being the second man. Adam was the first man. Jesus was the second man. All in Adam, what? Die. All in Christ Jesus have eternal life. First creation, second creation. Was there a work in the first creation? How many days did God work? 6 days. And on the seventh day, He rested. So, Jesus comes along on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, no work is to be done on the Sabbath day. But Jesus comes and there's a paralytic laying there and He says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And the Pharisees got all upset. No, you're not. You're false because you're working on the Sabbath. And Jesus comes back and He says, "Not only am I working, my Father's working too. We're both working." What? You're working? Jesus was establishing a new creation. And He was working. He said, "I'm taking you to a new level. I'm taking you further. I'm working." But there come a day when Jesus was done working. He's hanging on the cross and He says what? "It is finished." And then He sat down and rested. Which Sabbath do you want to be a part of? The first one or the second one? What rest do you want to enter into? You want to enter into the rest that came through Moses? Or do you want to enter into the rest that comes through Jesus? Those who have entered His rest, they're done, man. They're so complete. They're so... It's all over. It's all done. What can I do to improve that? Is there anything I can come up with now that I need to work a little more? Those who have entered His rest will also rest from their works. It isn't about some certain day on this earth. He said, "I give you a new day. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart." Okay, that's good. But the rest we enter into is Jesus sat down and said, "Okay, this is over. The new creation has been established. It's done. It's complete. Enter into that rest." Whoa. I don't know where I am. How about there? We'll conclude with this. It was interesting. This verse came up. Who brought this verse up? Somebody. Today. No, it was right here during sharing. Who was it that brought it up? And after a little while. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. Whew, what does it say next? Will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. You know, Peter, Jason read about Job, but there's another case. You know, Peter, Satan has come and he's asked to sift you like wheat. Satan has come, Jason, and he's asked to sift you like wheat. He's come and he's asked to sift you, Mike, like wheat. How many of you have ever felt the siftings of the Lord? A few hands. I remember Chuck Porta. Oh, that's why people get nervous. I'm going overtime. Chuck Porta was one preaching about the wheat berry coming down. Yeah. It's coming down, the wheat berry, and it's going into the flour mill. And it's coming in, and it's dark down there, and you're the wheat berry. He's going to sift us. But in the end of the day, God is faithful. He'll not fail you. Peter is now relaying to us that it is God who is at work in us. You're not going through life with God hoping you'll make it. You know, oh, man, I hope Adam gets there. Come on, Adam. You can do it, Adam. Come on. God isn't cheering us on that way. He wants us to believe that He will see us through, to put our faith in Him to get us through. You need to have the help of the Holy Spirit. What's holding us back is unbelief, not believing. The same God who qualified you to be born again will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Can you say with all confidence that God is faithful? Will He see you through? Will He do this for you? Or is it just for others? Do you see it's not about how well you've done? Huh? Not how well you've done. It's how well He's done. He'll see you through. So we learned a lot of things at the men's retreat. And I was convicted about a lot of things in my own life. That's just been a beginning. I have to now release that to God and say, God, bring me through. Whatever words have been spoken over you, will God see you through? Can you trust Him to see you through? To get there? We can get there, right? That's the book. Even from here, even after this sermon. You can still get there. So will you believe that He's faithful? Will you believe it for yourself, but will you believe it for those? Just look around. Look around and see the people around you. Is He going to see them through too? Yes. When we truly believe this, we can walk in a greater grace for one another, not viewing each other by their failings, but seeing the faithfulness of God will see you through. Not according to your sin, but according to His plan and purpose for you. He's not preparing some kind of consequence for your sin. He's prepared an eternal life for you. And that's His plan for you. Yes, He dealt with sin. But He's not figuring out how to punish you for the particular sin. He may, like a father, discipline you, but His purpose is far greater than all that. So let us encourage each other about God's faithfulness, that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. Amen.